Morning. I was scheduled to sing today, but as you can tell, my voice is pretty much gone. Go ahead. So God does answer prayer. Amen. Started this weekend, so we've had kind of a rough weekend, but that's okay. I wanted to be here today and get out as much as I can. We'll go as far as we can go, and then we'll just go home. Let's go to the back to the book of Acts, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. We were dealing last week about being stuck. And the requests that we've heard this morning are very, very serious requests. So I'm glad that church is not just a formality that I ritualize every week and go through, but I'm glad I'm serving a real God, aren't you? I'm glad I serve a God that all the requests that we've heard today, as heavy as they are on your heart, none of it is too big for Him. None of it is too big for Him, and none of it takes Him by surprise. He's a God that's awake when we are asleep. He's attentive when we are not attentive. He's watching over us. Psalms 91 is a beautiful rendition of that He takes care of us. So those of you that are praying for family, I just feel impressed to say this. God is going to take care of it. And that's not just words. The God that we serve is able to take care of all that we go through. Just as He brought you through your mother's situation, He'll bring you through this situation. Greg, just as the thought that comes to me when I consider you and the work that you're doing, what comes to me is when Nehemiah was on that wall, he made a statement. He said, I can't come down. I got something to do. I got a work to do. So you got a work to do. And when you pull in that parking lot, you're pulling in there for Him, not for anybody else. He wanted you to know that today. Just like Nehemiah said when they tried to get in, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just come on down from that wall? He said, I can't come down. Amen. God's in control. He's going to take care of us because we're in a serious situation today in our world, and He is a very serious God. The story that we read to you this morning in last week we began, it's a very familiar story to those of us that's been in church for a while. It's about the man that was lame at the gate called Beautiful. So let's read just a few verses there. It says, now Peter and John, chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. There's a lot of importance in everything I've just read to you. And I've learned to take every word. You see, there's a word, I'm just going to stop right here and then we'll read some more, but there's a word I want you to write down, and the word is balance. We live in a world that is very unbalanced when it comes to our relationship with God. We have two extremes. We got the extremism that just walks on water or appears to be, and then you've got the other side, that the practicality part that's just doesn't believe anything. But there's a middle of the road that God wants us to find. And God wants us to understand that when we approach His word with soberness, He will give us direction on how to come through what we're facing. In this situation here, this is a man that is stuck. God is very, very interested in your life, in your situation, where you are mentally, physically, and spiritually. I want you to understand this man here. Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. You remember last week we said Peter represents revelation of God. John reveals the word. So there's the word under revelation is a very powerful, powerful element. I want you to get that. The word under revelation You can't have the word without revelation. So what does that mean? That means God reveals his word to you. How many of you know today that God is a God of his word? Would you raise your hand right now? How do you know that? You know that because some point in your life, he came through for you. And nobody can convince you that God didn't do for you what he did. That's revelation. Revelation is knowing that God will do what he says he will do. Revelation is not examining the circumstances. Revelation is not looking even at the obvious. But revelation is knowing that there is a God who is able to bring me through whatever situation I am in. One thing I want you to note, some people, as I said, balance. There's an extremism that some say that if you walk in the supernatural faith of God like you ought to, you won't have problems, you won't have sicknesses, and we know that's just not true. The God that I serve is a greater faith when I'm going through things. Do you know it takes more faith to believe when you're hurting? Amen. It takes more faith to keep going when there doesn't seem to be any reason to go. I want you to understand revelation. So the word and revelation are about to go in the gate. Now there's a gate there called beautiful. Let's look at that. Verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Impossible situation. Impossible circumstance. This man never knew what it was to walk. It wasn't that he got in an accident. It wasn't that something happened in his life. He was an impossible situation. Never knew what it was. Lame from his mother's womb. Was carried. Second thing, having to depend on circumstances, having to depend on those around him. They laid daily. They laid him. They are the ones, and I want you to write this down last week. So let's start right here. Expectations determine fulfillment. In the land of stuck is that place you get where you know there's a God, you know he's real, but you don't know he's real for you. Stuck is that place where you don't want to go back, you don't want to do bad, get this, but you don't really care about doing good either. Amen. It's real quiet in here. Is it because you can't hear me, or is that what it is? Because I feel like I'm a muffler up here this morning. I don't want to go back, but I really don't have that drive and desire and ambition to go forward either. I know God can do it, but I'm just confused about how it's going to happen. And to be very honest, overwhelmed by the circumstance. Do not you believe this man had to be overwhelmed by circumstance? Do not you believe this man? Do you realize what the conversation would be if you went up to him and said, "Do you ever think you're going to walk again?" Please. Do you not know my situation? I've never walked. Even if I was to walk, how do you do that? Just like some of the situations you guys are in today, you don't know what to do. You don't even know how to do it. So what do? They laid him. Expectations determine. They laid him at the gate called Beautiful. Now, I want to just say something about beautiful. You remember last week I told you to look at the woman side of you and say, you are beautiful today. Would you just do that again? Amen. Some of y'all struggle with that, so I'm going to do it one more time. Turn to the woman side of you and say, you are beautiful today. Beautiful. Beautiful. I believe God puts everything in the word for a reason. I don't believe it was by chance he just put the word beautiful in there. Because what is beautiful about this situation? What is beautiful? He's a beggar. He's a beggar because of circumstance. He's a beggar because everyone expects him to be a beggar. No one is trying to help him because no one knows what to do. And in the midst of this situation, God puts a word called beautiful. What is beautiful about cancer? What is beautiful about sickness? Nothing. One of the things that I went through with my mother, and I thank God for what I went through, but I went through impossible situations and I learned a lot. Romans 8:28, God works everything for our good. How many times have we questioned that? God, I don't see no good in this. God's not saying that cancer is good, but he's saying he's good. God's not saying that sickness is good. There's nothing good about sickness. But what is good? And you need to get this. This is for somebody today. He is good, and he will bring you through whatever you need. Well, I prayed all those prayers and they still died. So tell me about that. Tell me about that. Excuse me? To leave a world of sickness and pain and sorrow to go to somewhere where there'll never be no more tears, there'll never be no more sorrow. You see, I had this conversation with God when it came to my mother. I said, Lord, she's a good woman. She's all she's ever done was good. I just don't understand. He said, you're exactly right. You don't understand it. And because of your selfishness, everything's got to be explained to you. And how many of you know that God don't have time to explain everything to us? He just says, you're going to have to trust me. And all of a sudden, a peace come over me that there'll never be no more cancer where she's at. There'll never be no more sickness where she's at. Guess what? I've seen her cry, and it broke my heart, and I'll never see her cry again. So you can't tell me that God is not in control. He is a good God, and guess what? Soon and very soon, I'm going to see her again. Amen? Be encouraged today. Beautiful. So here's the situation. Expectations determine fulfillment. Why is our circumstances like they are? Because Satan does not have power and authority over you. But he does run circumstances. God said, when he was talking about Job, he says, you do what you want to, but you can't take his life. Aren't you glad that God's in control of life? Amen. Aren't you glad he's still God in the midst of it all? Let's go back. Picture in your mind, this man is in the land called stuck. What can he do? He depends on people to carry him, and they lay him. Let's look at that just a minute. Expectations. What do you really expect? Expectations determine fulfillment. God said he's laid at the gate called Beautiful, meaning that the possibility, the fulfillment, and the endowment of God is there. Presence of God is everywhere. Amen. Even when I'm hurting, he's there. Even when I look at him and tears are coming down my eyes and I say, God, I can't take this no more. He's there. And this morning, you need to know that. You need to know that. Amen. When our precious lady here went on her vacation, and she fell, just a normal walk, and she fell. You know what I begin to pray for you? First of all, I begin to feel her fear. How many of you know God can let you feel? How many of you know we serve a real God? Amen. I don't want you praying for me if you don't have a feeling relationship with God. Amen. I know when He's in the room. Amen. He's in this room this morning. But my heart began to go to you, and I began to pray for your fears. She's in a place she don't know. She don't know the people. And she's hurting. She's not just hurting, but she's in a serious hurt. I don't mean to pull you out, but blame it on God, okay? Amen. Then I began to pray. Here was my prayer for her every day. I thought about her every day. God, let her feel your presence. Because if she can sense that you're there, an ugly situation can become beautiful. And God brought you home. And you're sitting here this morning. Amen. And as much as I know, you walked in. Amen. And you're going to walk out. Do not we need to give Him praise and honor for that? He's an awesome, awesome God. God says, I wish I could keep you from. That's one of my things as a daddy. And I got grandbabies and everything. That's one of my biggest problems is me and God wrestle with who's going to take care of them. Amen. I know y'all don't do that. I know y'all don't do that. But we wrestle with that, who's going to take care of them. And then I think about the old school bus and I think about all that junk. And then I have to know that in the midst of this, there's a gate called beautiful. That God's going to take care of it. I want you to get this part. Because I'm running out of wind right now. Expectations determine fulfillment. Get this. His expectation had been limited. Write that down. His expectation had been limited. So now he expects to sit at this gate every day, and I have to wait for somebody to come get me. And if they're a little late or whatever, I just have to deal with it because I can't do nothing about it. I expect them just to come and get me. I expect to sit here every day, and I expect to beg and plead, please. Let me leave you with this. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God did not raise you to be a beggar. God loves you. You don't have to beg God and say, Lord, I sure wish I was good enough to pray to you. God, you know my faults. You know, I messed up yesterday and I'm just so sorry. God, I sure wish, you know, we almost feel like but what did God say? Enter to the throne room with boldness. Isn't that what He said? He said, through His blood, we've been made righteous and we can call on Him and our limitations can be broken to an unlimited God. I want to ask you this question. What limits you? What limits you? Where is your biggest pain right now? Because when we start thinking about expectations, the first thing that comes to our mind is that thing in our life that stopped our expectations. Does that make sense? What that means is, when was the last time you were hurt? And so, because you were hurt, you're never going to do that again. You remember I said that in the land of stuck, they have a motto. You know what the motto is? Remember from last week? Who can remember what I said? Every one of you failed. Amen. No excuse. You're going to fail too. Amen. You remember I said the land of stuck, the motto on the courthouse square had a big old beautiful sign, always. Remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember now. Oh, yeah. always. What does that mean? Always holds hands with limitations. Because limitations say, I've always done it this way. They always bring me here and set me down at the gate. They always don't even give me a second look anymore. They always, when we talk about getting better, or we talk about running the marathon, or we talk about going to the family reunion or whatever, I don't get included because they always expect me to be right here. Always holds hands with limitation. When God begins to say, can you believe me for this? Well, I've tried that before, and always this is what happens. You know what I've thought about doing sometimes? And that we've cut the air conditioning off, so that's my sign. They didn't want me to hurry up. They want me to hurry up. You know what I thought about doing sometimes? Come in here on Sunday morning, let all y'all get seated down and tell you to switch. Tell you to switch. You know why? Because you always sit where you're at, right? And you always go to the same restaurant on the same night or the same, you know. Always order the same thing. Amen. Well, have you tried something new? Nah, I better get what I know. Amen. Have you tried the special? The special's really good. Well, I always get this. Amen. Now do we understand limitations sometimes? We limit ourselves because limitations, let's just be real honest. If you've ever been hurt, and every one of you have, is a safeguard. I know just enough about God to know that there is a God. But I don't want to know too much because I don't want him to expect too much because I don't want to be able to do too much. Because I'm scared if I do too much, I'll fail. I want God to heal me. I want God, I want to come to the altar. I want to raise my hand and say, but I'm scared to say that. Because what if it don't happen? Amen. I've always been right here in this box right here. Amen. But what if I get over here? I don't have nothing to hide. I'm more open. I'm more vulnerable. It's just me over here. Over here, now, this is pretty good. But it's not like that, because I'm always over there. I certainly can't be effective here. I just can't be. What? It's just a piece of wood. I just can't be. My mind just tells me I need to be over there. And I can't be affected because the whole time I'm right here, I'm wondering, well, what do all people think? Why what's he doing over there? Well, what's the preacher doing over there? He's always over there. Amen? And God certainly can't be here and there at the same time. Amen. But this is okay. This is not okay. This is not okay. Why? Why ain't it okay? We're still church, and we're still preaching, and I'm still in front of you people. But I'm always there. So God, if you're going to do anything with me, you need to do it right here. But I need you over here. But God, I don't want to go over there. I don't expect nothing over here. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say this morning? And the Lord is just saying, listen, this is temporary. That's temporary. Everything's temporary. Life is temporary. The only thing that's really worth anything is God. Amen. And God is saying, don't let they, or we would say them, don't let the they of the society set you in your place. You need to get in your place because this is where you belong. Man, you're lame. You can't even walk. You don't need to be over here bothering everybody. You need to be right here. Let me tell you something. You know how the story goes, and I'm going to stop right here. I just feel like I'm stopping right here. A couple of things I want to share with you. God knows your pain. And He knows why you don't want to be over here. You tried that before. And in the process of trying this, because you were different, people ridiculed you, and they lambasted you, and they hurt you. And rather than go through that again, you just stay here. You know, the pioneers that built America were tremendous. You know what's wrong with America? We don't have no heroes no more. We don't have no pioneers. You remember when Reagan was president and he would make a statement? Well, you just listen. You know what I mean? You listen. Boy, when all this terrorists and all this junk was going on, it didn't scare him. He'd tell you in a heartbeat. But now, everybody wants to look around and, what is politically correct? Well, you know what politically correct is? The coward's way. I just want to see what everybody else is thinking. That's not leadership. You look at these lights right here. Do you know what it costs to have something like that? A man had to say, you know, I'm tired of candles. I'm tired of going to Walmart and there ain't no candles. Amen. I'm tired of it. And this storm in one night, he's seeing lightning go across. Who do you think gave him the intellect to do what he did? The day we walk in, this morning we got here and just flipped it on. So what we've done, I got it now, Greg, I got it. God's resourced out. That's what it is. He can't do it no more. That's what it is. He's limited. He's reached his limit, Bob. God says, I've not even begun to reach my limit. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean on me. God don't understand. Whew. His presence is in this place today. I've been limited in my life because I expected to be no more than what I was. And if I expect to be no more, and when I really begin to understand expectations, and I promise I am going to close right now, it's because of pain. And I know that a lot of you are hurting today, and I'm asking you to stand to your feet. I thank God that I serve a God that lets me feel things. And I just feel this man, this grown man. You know, we men got egos, and we like to know we provide for our family. We got egos. Turn to the man beside him and say, you got an ego? Turn to him. That's him. Absolutely.
Amen. No, if you want me to have one, I will. No, we got them.
Amen.
We got them. Here's a grown man. First of all, has had people pick him up, bring him, put him down. And I have felt like that at times. One of the things the devil loves to destroy from us is self-worth. You're just not worth. You're just not good as your sister. You're not good as your brother. You're not as intelligent as your mama loved your sister more than she loved you. And you just don't have it. Your boss at work, the one, remember the one you had to train? Remember? He tells you you didn't do a good job. How do you know, redneck? You don't even know what you're doing. Amen? You don't even know what you're doing. But we feel. So you know what we did? He just said no. Not going to do nothing. We destroy our own self. This story's not over. We're going to finish it. And you think you know what the ending is. But God says, I'm putting expectations back into you. That sounds real good, preacher. But when I get ready to leave here, I'm getting a real car and I'm going to a real world with real problems. I want to close with this. We serve a real God who will give us the knowledge. Silver and gold have I none. And we're going to learn next week about such as I have, I give you. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for helping me get through it, Lord. I didn't know if I could even get through it, but I just thank you, Lord, that I got through it. And I pray, Lord, most of all, that someone will receive something from this today. Lord, I know they're hurting. I know they're going through impossible situations. I know there's a lot of fear because there's a spirit of fear in this world. There's a lot of things that's out of our control, and we can't do nothing about it, and therefore our limitations cause us to fear. Lord, there's a lot of pain today that we remember. It might have happened years ago, but it's just like if it was today. Lord, help us to stand strong, and Lord, help us to regain courage, not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, but in you. I pray, God, today that everyone here that's battling a battle or facing a situation, that today you would just cover them with your awesome presence and that they would know, God, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord because you're going to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.